And we say hello to a Quincy's Substance Use Prevention Coordinator, Laura Martin, to chat with us about a new collaboration the city has with Bay State Community Services when it comes to folks who are dealing with a substance use disorder during this pandemic. Laura, good to chat with you.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate you reaching out.
It's our pleasure. I know this is a trying time for all of us, but particularly for folks who are suffering from substance use disorder, probably unable to access their regular services. What are you hearing about that?
Sure. Well, obviously, we're in the middle of a pandemic, so everyone's lives are kind of turned upside down. But a lot of the typical services that individuals access are obviously being modified, a lot of them cut off, and not at any fault of the agencies, but, you know, clearly when you have a highly contagious disease spreading, you have to protect the workers of the programs, and you also have to protect the individual. So with social distancing mandates, you know, the recovery centers, they are not able to be open in full capacity. So a lot of individuals that would use that for peer support. Another big one is, you know, all AA, NA, 12-step fellowship, or any other support groups. They're no longer being held in person. So folks are, from a service standpoint, folks are definitely experiencing a lot of lapses in what they're used to. On the other side, getting into programs, I do know programs, you know, are considered essential. So they are still accepting people, but then we have to remember that they're not able to accept them at the same capacity because they have to put safeguards in place for social distancing. And if someone that is in the program comes down with COVID-19, they have to be able to quarantine them. So a lot of different things happening for people with direct service access. And then you have the fact that, you know, even without those being disturbed, folks that are in early recovery, or a lot of folks in recovery, they're just like everybody else right now. So they're, you know, losing jobs, food insecurity, housing insecurity. So it's like they're experiencing everything that we all are experiencing, but then there's some added barriers. Not barriers that can't be overcome, but also there's the lack of continuity of what they're used to and what keeps them sober. So it's rough. I guess that was a long-winded explanation of what you asked.
I think that's true. It's probably true that a lot of folks who were getting services are unfortunately kind of suffering in silence now. They were just, you know, quickly cut off from those resources, and now probably are wondering what to do next.
Sure. And I mean, you know, you look at it from not even people that may have been in recovery. I mean, you know, a lot of their recovery and sobriety depends on consistency and routine. And, you know, folks with substance use disorders, they're not, you know, immune to the pressures and the fear that we're all feeling. And I think, I don't think you can talk to anyone that's not sure what's happening, what to do. And that applies to everybody. So it's kind of a double whammy. In that sense. Yeah. And as far as, you know, what are we hearing? So it's difficult to ascertain what's happening, you know, with relapses, with overdoses from a numbers standpoint. I do know that Plymouth County has reported that they've had a spike, a pretty significant spike in overdoses and fatalities. Mm. It's difficult right now to monitor what exactly is going on in Quincy from a data standpoint, because you think about it, folks that usually would be accessing an emergency room during an overdose, or they're not going. You know, there's a fear. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm sure some are, but there's also that, you know, they're already sick. They don't want to go there. Mm-hmm. It's even scarier. I mean, I'd get nervous going to an emergency room. Yeah. So I think overall, we're not really like much of everybody else. We're not really sure how this is going to play out. Now, on another, you have the data standpoint, you know, you'd look at EMS, you'd look at overdose reversal calls, but then we have the real life representation, and what we're hearing from folks in the recovery community and seeing is that relapses are happening. Even if people aren't fully relapsing back into a substance, they're really struggling. So I think, you know, I think it's fair to say it's going to be really, really tough for a while. And there's a lot of people out there that don't know what to do, just like everybody else. You know,
right.
This new normal is overwhelming for all of us.
Right. And I do know that, you know, when it comes to substance use and recovery, timing is critical. So if somebody is at a point where they're, you know, ready to go into recovery and the services aren't there, that's a pivotal point for them right there.
Sure. Yeah, timing is. And I definitely, you know, that's a barrier. But I also want to say that I think if someone's ready, even though it's going to be more difficult to access treatment, if they're ready and willing, they can still get it. You know, what I don't want to start saying is to folks, oh, you know, just ride it out. You know, if you're, because this could be a pivotal point for a lot of folks, right? Kind of like all of us are reassessing what matters. I mean, I know for me, like, you know, folks are talking about going back to the stores, shopping, and restaurants. I can't wait to give my parents a hug. You know, I've only seen them from 6 feet away with a mask and gloves on for quite some time. So I want to, you know, understand, and I'm not downplaying it at all. Mm-hmm. Yes, very, very tough. But also, I think a lot of people are doing a lot of self-reflection and realizing, and it might be a good time for people to act on it. It's going to be tougher, but it's not impossible.
Right. So can you talk to us about this recovery coach initiative with Bay State Community Services and how that all works?
Sure. So I just want to say, like, I didn't create, you know, recovery coaches. They're always there. Now, Bay State, typically a recovery coach is a peer-to-peer specialist. So when they first came around, I think I was not really in tune with exactly what it was, what it would do. But the longer that they've been around and I've seen it is, just like with anyone else, you know, with any other disease, with any shared experience, you have people that, you know, care about you and they'll ask and they, you know, wish they could understand, but they don't. And with a recovery coach, you're talking to someone if you're struggling, no matter where, if you're close to relapse, you have relapsed, you've been in active addiction. 99.9% of the time, one of those recovery coaches is going to have been in that same exact spot. And so for a person like me or for another provider to try to say, here's what you need to do. You know, I can provide all the resources in the world, but the one thing that I can't provide is real lived experience. And so the recovery coaches are able to do that. And when they create that connection, pretty awesome to see what comes of it. So basically, Bay State Community Service is the administrator. They run New Way Recovery Center, and they've had the HEART program, which is DPH funded and BSAS funded. I may be off on exactly who funds it, but it's overseen by the state. And what a recovery coach does in the HEART program is that they realized early on that when folks were overdosing, they were coming to the hospital, that's the perfect time to try to capture them to provide services. Now, whether they're going to want to go into a detox or a program at that time or not, you provide them with the information and the resources for maybe when they're ready. And so what the recovery coaches do through the HEART program out of the recovery center is they're on call. And anytime there is an overdose at Kearney Hospital in Quincy, I apologize, I guess we're calling it Steward. Mm-hmm. So the satellite there, or South Shore Hospital, those recovery coaches, or I think, and I don't want to quote myself, I do believe perhaps Milton too falls under that. And so what will happen is an individual is brought in by the ambulance for an overdose, or they self-present. And the nurses will make sure that they're medically, you know, take care of obviously the overdose. And then they'll reach out to a recovery coach. And one of the recovery coaches from the heart team will then go to the emergency room and actually have a direct interaction with the individual. And what they do at that point is they meet them where they are. So, you know, it is. It's all about being ready, and that's one thing. But it's a lot easier to be ready when you have someone at your bedside providing you with options. So that's what they do. And they go, and, you know, sometimes they can get them into a detox. They help them access medication-assisted treatment. They provide them with Narcan because perhaps the individual isn't ready to stop and they want to keep them alive until they are. Mm-hmm. And then what they do also is they connect them with resources throughout the community. So it's really, it's like going, you know, going to a community center and having all of these resources there, but it's an actual person.
Mm-hmm.
And besides just the resources, like I said, the key to it, they've been there. And they're supported by an agency and overseen. So that's what the heart program does. Now, calls to the emergency room for the heart program have been down. You know, folks are scared to go to the emergency room right now, like most of us are. So we've been hearing that people who are relapsing, we know it. I've seen obituaries for folks. Access to the typical programs is down. They're having, you know, we're doing, I will say, all of the social service agencies, Bay State, Manet, all of them, Gavin Foundation, all of the private ones, they really, really stepped up. And so folks are doing online meetings, but also that's not comfortable for a lot of people. It's an amazing option and it's the best we can do right now, but not everyone has access to a phone. Not everyone has access to a computer.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea came and I spoke with the mayor and explained the situation. You know, we know people are struggling financially and, you know, with their substance use. So he was very much on board with trying to come up with a creative way to provide support. And it's one of those tough programs. You know, a lot of times you create programs and you have benchmarks to meet and, you know, what type of results are we looking? But this was really just, it's crisis management. And so how it is going to play out is now for all residents in the city of Quincy, people residing here, suffering from substance use disorder, or the difference is usually a recovery coach is just for that individual, but this is also a program available to friends and family.
Oh, okay.
So we realize it's a family disease, right? It's a community disease. It affects everyone. And a lot of the traditional supports that folks have had, family members, those are also cut off.
Mm-hmm.
So a recovery coach can talk to them. And it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, which is also, I think, pretty unique. And so what will happen is you call into the call center, and they'll immediately notify, they'll get your basic information, your name, you know, and they'll ask questions that don't need to necessarily be answered. We don't want folks to be scared away.
Okay.
And then they'll connect the recovery coach with the individual's number, and they'll reach out, and they'll meet them where they are. And you know, if they need treatment, if they need Narcan, if they need housing, recommendations, really anything, or if they just need to talk.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of, you know, it's different in that it's not just the individual, it can be the family. And for me, it was really kind of a way, and for the city, I think of saying, you know, we have such amazing collaboration in our social service providers, but we always have a place to send people. We don't have one of those right now.
Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of the solution. And it's kind of a, we don't have any expectations. If, you know, like I said, I'm funding it through my budget. And Bay State is going to be supervising it clinically, which is also super important because I'm a lawyer and I work for the city, but I don't have clinical supervision. And you always want to make sure that when you're dealing with any sort of disease, it's being handled by people that can clinically make sure it's appropriate. So what it's going to do, I'm not sure. And I think at the end of the day, I've already spoken to one woman who was able to use it. And it was really, really great for her. And she now has this recovery coach. And if her loved one is ready at some point, the recovery coach is available for them. And I mean, to me, that's kind of a win.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how long it's going to go on. Mm-hmm. I think social distancing is going to be something that's going to result in a lot of delays in our traditional avenues for people to get help.
Yeah.
Just like with the rest of us, you know, I mean, look at the new normal. It's going to be different. So for right now, it's available. I don't plan on it not being available anytime in the near future. And we're just going to kind of see how it goes. It's a resource out there. You know, and it's in addition to the other resources that the state has, you know, the mass substance use hotline. It's not replacing anything. It's mm-hmm. just adding, you know, I think right now more than ever, I don't know about you, but I always press zero to talk to a real person. Like even when I call CVS for my prescriptions, I'm like pharmacist and they're probably like, this girl's annoying.
Yeah.
But there's something about talking to a real person. And that's kind of what we're just trying to provide, you know, and a person that's going to, they're going to go the extra mile for you
mm-hmm.
during a time where, you know, everybody's struggling right now. And I've got to think, and I know because I've spoken to people, you know, struggling with addiction, like, well, you know, I really shouldn't, I've always been causing trouble or, you know, right now other people have stuff to worry about, but I don't want that to be the case. Because their issues matter just as much as they did before this pandemic.
Great.
So that's kind of my long-winded, as I usually am, Laura-splain. I call it the Laura-splain, Laura's explanation of what the program is going to be. And, you know, it is what it is. And I don't know what's going to come from it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm satisfied with that one woman that I talked to that
yep.
enough has already come from it.
Yep.
And we'll just wait and see. And I do have to say, you know, Bay State's willingness to step up. The mayor's willingness. It wasn't even a question.
Mm-hmm.
I went to him. I said, I don't know what's going on, but here's what I'm thinking and hearing. And he said, do whatever you need to do. So that's what we're doing. And Bay State has really stepped up. You know, all the community partners have stepped up. And mm-hmm. Bay State's who we're partnering with right now. But, you know, you have the Gavin Foundation. And they're still taking folks. You have Manet, they're out there doing outreach, Father Bill, all these places that really kind of, during these times, it makes you proud of where you're from and proud of the collaboration. It's not about any one agency. It's everybody really coming together right now, which is great. And I think we're, you know, we've kind of always seen that in this field. There's a lot of silent heroes, which are the best kind. And so we're continuing to see that, which is nice. And, you know, I called Doris Cox, you know, the president at 7:30 on a Thursday night. And I said, what do you think? And she said, yep. And we got it going, you know, and it was up and running on Wednesday. So, you know, there may be some glitches, but we can always fix them. It's not going to be perfect. So.
We should give folks the number. It's 617-479-3700.
Correct. Yep. And then you'll call, you'll speak with someone at the answering service. But they're an answering service that's used to taking these calls. It's, you know, sometimes it's like, oh, an answering service, but they get it. They know exactly what to do. You know, and folks don't have to share. They share as much as they're comfortable with, and then we leave it at that. And then it's up to the coaches, you know.
Who are the coaches?
Who are the coaches?
Yeah.
So the coaches are individuals that work for Bay State Community Service. So they're certified recovery coaches. They go, you know, things, and I don't want to misspeak again. Things have changed with the coaches. But I do know as far as qualifications and stuff. They're people in recovery, a good amount of recovery, you know, so that they're at a place where they can help others. Yep. They're at a healthy place. They are overseen by Warren Nicoli, who he might yell at me. I don't know if it's Nicola or Nicoli, but Warren, he is the director at New Way Recovery, and he's been wonderful with us. I mean, you know, completely open to doing what we have to do. But they go through, I believe it was Recovery Coach Academy, and then they're certified recovery coaches. So there's standards that need to be met.
Yeah.
They're constantly trained, constantly receiving supervision, you know, to make sure that they know about everything out there. So I know a bunch of them. They go above and beyond. And I think it's just that same thing. You know, when you're passionate about something, if you've gone through it or you have a connection, you know, a charity, you know, something that's near and dear to your heart, if you've really lived through that, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And then it helps, you know, I mean, they're not doing it for the money.
Right.
Definitely, you know, they get paid, but
yeah,
like most social services, it's not much. But they're doing it
themselves out there around the clock for this. So that speaks volumes right there.
Yeah. And most of them, we're doing it for the same reasons a lot of us do stuff, because we've been there, and it helps us. Right. It helps us move through whatever difficulties we've dealt with, you know, because we've been there, and it helps people stay well to use their example of success to help others.
Mm-hmm. And I think the unique part about this that you mentioned is that it's open to family and friends as well, because as you know,
success
affects everybody.
Yeah, and not just, you know, family and friends, but also like city departments, you know, because folks are doing stuff all the time. And if they have a question, if they need, you know, a peer type of answer, or, you know, if they need a more clinical answer, and then the peer will go to one of their supervisors at Bay State. So it's kind of, you know, it's a all answers type of thing, because no matter what the issue is, there's going to be someone involved in the collaboration that can help them out.
Yeah.
We may get calls that aren't even related to substance use.
Well, sure.
And if the person can help them out with, hey, here's where you go to get food or diapers, that's great too. I mean, we're certainly not going to be shutting people away.
Right.
So.
Again, 479-3700. And if folks would like to reach out to you, Laura, at City Hall, how do they best do that?
Oh, sure. So the best way, well, I have my email on my phone at all times. So it's L. Martin, MARTIN, at quincyma.gov.
Okay.
And reach out to me that way.
Great. Really appreciate your time. Anything else that we should let folks know about this particular program?
I don't think so, because like I said, we don't really know yet. We're doing the best we can with what we've got right now. And I don't know, like I said, I can't thank the partners enough, because, you know, I'm funding it and I'm overseeing it and helping, but just it's pretty awesome to see people just change to meet a need so drastically.
Yeah.
And it gives you a lot of hope, you know.
Mm-hmm. And that's something we all need right now, for sure. Yeah.
It's a tiny silver lining right now. I mean, the people that are out there, whether it's Quincy, whether it's the folks in Boston on the streets helping people, I mean, people are just, they're going and they're grinding away, and they're dealing with their own personal struggles around the fact that we're in a pandemic.
Right.
You know, so it's nice to see people be able to still rise to the occasion. And if anyone, I mean, if people have questions, suggestions, we're always open to that. Like I said, it's kind of like a piece of Play-Doh right now. We can flex it however we need to meet needs.
Sure.
It was a weird analogy, but I feel like I have like a little bit of COVID brain. But like I said, anything folks are, and if this isn't something that folks are looking for, if they're interested in finding out other community partners that are doing things, then they can always email me at that as well.
Okay, very good. Really appreciate your time, Laura. Hope we helped get the word out for you.
Great. Thank you so much. I appreciate you reaching out. You take care.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.